Welcome to Return to Shambhala. This is Vicki Goodwin. Tonight we are very fortunate to have a special guest. His name is Michael Silverhawk. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Good evening. Wonderful to be on your show.
Great. I'm glad you're on the show. That's great. Michael, if you would you please introduce yourself to the
sure.
listeners?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm an author. I have a trilogy of books that I'm bringing out to the world. It's called the Drifter Trilogy. I'm also a planetary shaman. I basically troubleshoot planets with the GFL, the Galactic Federation of Light. I am known as Commander Silverhawk with the Federation. I'm here as among the task force. We have a huge task force, you know. It's about 160 million incarnate agents here. So I'm part of that. I've been here quite a while, troubleshooting various kinds of medicine to undermine the Dark Empire and bring in and usher in the Golden Age. And it's time now to usher in the Golden Age. That's what's going on. If you go on my website at driftworld.org, that's the first thing that meets your eyes, is the Golden Age dawns, this beautiful starscape and everything. And it's time for me. They brought me out of covert and saying it's time to go out and speak to the world. And another thing about this book, it's a bit unusual. I'm presenting, this didn't come easy either. They kind of prompted me to go ahead and reveal the fact that I had a previous mission here as John the Divine, oh my, and brought in the revelation. And really what this is a completion of one of the missions I have, was to make sure that people didn't get caught up in thinking the revelation was cast in stone. And there's been a huge misunderstanding, particularly among the Christians, that it's some kind of absolute. All dire prophecy can be transmuted by divine grace and application, and it has been. We have already passed the timelines that involved all that horrible stuff. We're now poised to enter the Golden Age, the New World. And in the first book of my trilogy, they're all combined into one book, the Final Testament. I was given an 18-month meditative tour of the New World. It is so beautiful, you can scarcely believe it. And it's a very detailed explanatory tour of the world that's coming in. And it's time we have to come into an understanding of what is going to come to pass so we can become in harmony with it. And so many
right.
of us are doing that. So I'm here to help with that, basically, in all ways I possibly can, and answer all questions that may come up. I have a huge range of knowledge and expertise that I can help with in any area that you want to go in. So,
well, I'm open to whatever it is that you feel drawn to talk about. I've always heard that a fulfilled prophecy, like the one of all the negativity.
Right.
A fulfilled prophecy is a failed prophecy, because we've been told these things so we can change.
You're exactly right.
Exactly right.
Why would the Father, Mother, God, the prime creators of the universe, the governors of the universe, give us a dire prophecy without the opportunity to change of it, without divine application? It's given to us beforehand, so that the people of good spirit and will can step in and redirect it and transmute it. And this we have done, a huge host of us.
Right.
Like I say, it's 160 million, according to kinesiological estimation, incarnate agents of the Galactic Federation of Light here. And I know so many of you out there feel you're not really from here, and you're right. I want to confirm that from you. It, we don't really fit that well in the matrix world, if you will, and we feel like we're maybe from somewhere else. If you have that sense, you are.
Right, you too.
That's okay. I mean, we're all family. This is the thing. And the Federation is coming in closer. They have been helping us, and we're very soon going to be meeting up with them and having disclosure and first contact. I have works in progress for that as well. If you go to my website, to the contact page, I have works in progress called the Starman Project, which is an invitation to the Star Nations that I'm going to be kicking off with my associates, and inviting everyone who wants to invite them here. Go around the officials and say, look, it's our planet. We'd like you to come and be with us, help us out. We got quite a mess there, so we can use all the help we can possibly get. So they will, but they need an invitation. They operate in the Prime Directive, and they can't just barge in and blow everybody's mind to hear them.
Right.
So they have to get permission. So we can do that, and we have the world website. We're changing the name to Planetary Cybersite. It's an operating system for the world to meet together in unity and cooperation and brotherhood, harmony. The first cyber nation, the Republic of Avalon, is going to be born. This will be a service nation to all the nations. We're inviting the Federation to have their own websites in the Free Association of Sovereign Nations. It's kind of the 21st century UN, and we can kind of all come together. You know, most everybody on this planet is peaceful. They just want to raise their children and have something productive to do and enough to eat. It's really not too much to ask, and we can fulfill all that. We're busy doing the last, pulling the rug out from under the little rascals out there that feel they need to rule everything, and they're going down like a mighty oak.
They really are. The news, if you just look at the news, they're losing their grip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've lost it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're kind of like, but I warned people back in 1985. I said, well, you know, the dragon's going to die. And when it does, just duck, because it flails the tail, breathes fire, and it doesn't want to go down easy.
Mm-mm.
But all that's pretty much over. We're now having to come to terms with the mess they have left. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to run the world ourselves with we the people? And this is what's being engineered right now. And we do have excellent minds, spirits, geniuses, intelligence out there busy. And we are going to do just fine. We're going to get help from the Federation. And the most important thing I would recommend that anybody could do, if you go on my Mystery School of Adam Ka'aman on my site, I have a whole, my personal mystery school and all its revelations are there. And Section 2, Empowerment, the first teaching there is opening the temple. The most vital thing we need to do, and most people listening are pretty familiar with this, but it teaches it precisely, and this came from Admiral Sananda, who was Jesus here, and he's my partner in this venture. It was under his suggestion. So he wanted to clarify the teaching, what he came here, to give us spiritual empowerment, reconnect us to Source, get us ourselves reconnected to Source. It's simply knock, seek, ask, and be still. Reach out to the I Am Presence, your higher self, and with desire, passion, for reconnection. Because there, all the revelations come, all the guidance, all the promptings, peace, divine ecstasy, weeping, rapture, all the wondrous things come out of that. I spend about the first 5 hours of my day in that every day. So I'm pretty rich. with that. And that is the most important thing every human being needs to do, so you don't get lost, you don't get frightened by your own mind and fears, and you need the divine perceptions to open your single eye and see and get your pineal gland going again and resonate with that and ask for, you know, whatever you want. You ask for guidance, you ask for clarity. What if you're not sure what to do, ask. And this is very simple, and everybody has their own temple. We have a human body.
Right.
It's the temple of Adam Ka Aman, which means Adam, man, Ka as with Aman, God. Man is God, God is man. Human beings are the galactic consciousness that are the stewards and the agents of the I Am in this galaxy and throughout the universe, really. It's a prototype of the operating system for God. We're the software.
Right.
We just have to wake it up. Wake it up again.
Wake it up. Connect with it, because we have everything within us to do whatever it is we want to co-create. We can do that.
Absolutely. It's all right there, our fingertips. We have the whole universe, literally, like the click of a mouse. It's just, bam, I want to log on this morning, you know. Now, some people know this. There was the old Christian teaching, knock and the door shall open. They never told you where the door was. What door?
What door? Exactly.
The door of the church? No. The door of the temple is right in your heart chakra, right in the middle of your chest. And you knock by knocking. You tap it. I tap my heart chakra 13 times, 12 chakras for the 12 chakras and the 13th for the I Am. 13 times to wake it up. I knock on the door, spread my arms out, and say, I Am, be with me today. I'm logging on, showing up for work. Where are we going? And let the higher self just take it from there. I sometimes have questions. And lo and behold, revelations, insights, and inspirations will flow and emerge in your mind, and directions. A great peace comes in, perspective that you need for the day. You know, what are we, what's going on out there? Should I be afraid? Should I be attentive to any part of it? What's my role? Should I be doing? Whatever you want, it's there at your fingertips. That's the most important knowledge any human being will ever have, right there. That's the door to heaven, the gates to heaven. And, you know, the kingdom of heaven within. It's true.
Right. It's within. Right. I know with the church that I'm involved in, they teach that Jesus was also David. And David wrote, they say, the Psalms in the Bible. And when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, every time he would say Lord, he was really calling to his I Am presence. The Lord is my shepherd.
Absolutely.
I shall not want.
Yes.
But I just feel there's a knowingness that I do believe that that's what is being said, but it's somewhere out there. It's not within, and it is within.
There was a teaching he shared with me. People might ask why I have an Egyptian theme on my site. Why do you have the wings of Ra there? And I go, well, I'm from the Pleiadian star Taygeta, originally, and the planet era, and the Pleiadians are the most prolific people here in the missions in the Federation, and I had many missions here before. I've been helping along the way. This is a really big one here.
This is big. This is really big.
This is the big party, the New Year's Eve party here coming up, the Galactic New Year's Eve party.
Yes.
But I had a mission as Akhenaten. Oh, boy, that was a wild one. But it didn't come off very well. It didn't come off like it was hoped it would. And that was, Akhenaten brought in the first monotheistic teachings.
Right.
And started monotheism, which kicked off the Jewish thing and then the Christian thing. And then the Muhammad, you know, came in and continued it on. But that was the beginning of monotheism.
It was. That's right. After Atlantis went down, that was the first real awakening. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a lot of kind of fallen pagan god worship and things, and the things had gotten to be state religions and became businesses, a lot like they are today. And so Akhenaten came in, and while he was hooked up with, he was really Amenhotep the IV, but he changed his name to Akhenaten to reflect his new teachings. He had been hooked up with a very secret brotherhood of light and was commissioned, really, in that life to bring in the monotheistic teaching. But he was a little hasty in promoting it. It was supposed to take place over three generations, like 75 years. He had Syrian genetics interwoven with him, which gave him some longevity, but he got impatient. And the backlash drove him into exile. And but he didn't get to really finish the religion, or the teachings. And one thing you'll notice on my wings is the cross in the sun. And that is the Christ portal. That is the Christ portal and the Stargate, if you will, that you'll find in the center of your chest and in the center of our sun. And it connects our sun with the great central sun of galactic governance, and it connects us to both of the sun and the galactic sun, and is the Stargate to the total divine governance of the galaxy. And it's so important because, while a lot of people think Akhenaten taught sun worship, it's not true. He doesn't say, oh, look at big shiny thing in sky, let's worship it. No. He understood that and this is what Sananda confirmed, is that stars, and I have this in the Mystery School, the stars are the male and female principalities of the Creator coming together and copulating, making love. And it's very, very brilliant energy that they share. It lights up the heavens, and it's everywhere. It's inside
mm-hmm.
every atom.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's the love and passion of the Creator that lights up everything, that gives life to everything. And, of course, they have children. Well, we're living on one called planet Earth, and we are children, and everything that lives comes out of this life, this radiance, this love. And that was Akhenaten's teaching. And wanted to get people to connect with that center in themselves, with that center in the sun, the Father, Mother, God, and also to the galactic governance, to bring in the galactic governance to the Earth to help break up the darkness here. And all of that got really, really, I mean, the little rascals at the time were extremely upset. They wanted to squash this as fast as they possibly could, because it was threatening to bring in a golden age at the time of complete awakening. And at that time, Egypt was the most powerful empire on the planet, and it could have done it. So we're kind of completing that now. I'm completing that mission in this life by bringing this in. And a couple other missions in the past are woven into this. So it all kind of comes together in this grand hurrah, this grand finale for the Galactic New Year coming up.
Finally, yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Is that a long year? 25,920 years. Oh, my goodness. That is a long haul, you know.
That is. Akhenaten must have felt like someone swimming upstream because the consciousness.
Oh, God.
You know, and it just has been at a snail's pace. But now people are waking up so fast. I have a knowing this. What you're saying is true, and
yes.
They can let go of the old consciousness.
Oh, completely. Just work on being familiar with the new vibrations coming in and getting with it, getting into joy again. I mean, you know, there are still ugly situations around us. However, when you tune in to Source every day, you're tuning into the new governance that's coming in, and you can feel it, and it'll help you through your day. It'll help you, you know, and where to go, what do I do now. It'll open up new avenues if you need one. It'll see to your survival. If you're supposed to be here, you're going to be looked after one way or the other until we get fully liberated. But great prosperity is on the way, too. I mean, once we redo the financial system and liberate the money and put it back where it's supposed to be, we will have nothing but prosperity everywhere. It will be magnificent, and freedom to create and be and become and explore our potentials. It will be a celebration. In fact, I'm suggesting everyone prepare for the New Year's Eve party. All 2112. That's the New Year's Eve party for the Galactic New Year. And I just had this revelation the other day, and I went, oh, I just slapped my forehead and said, of course. What people are worried about, they're wondering why the Mayan calendar ended on 12/21/12. And I said, of course, it's the end of the year. And what do you do when you end the year with a calendar? You take it off the wall and you need to get a new calendar. So
right.
They did a calendar for the last Galactic New Year, which was 25,920 years.
Wow.
And now it's time for a new calendar after that. I don't know who's going to make it or if we'll even need one, but that's the Galactic New Year. We're going into a new dispensation. And this is the most exciting thing because something new is coming in that's never been here before. And this was a download to me. One of their favorite people because I'm always available for downloads. And they say, well, you want to take this out there? Okay, sure. Do a little salute, aye, Admiral. Yeah, okay. The dawn of the Grand Humu. This came through last April. And I dutifully let it all flow in, and then I wrote it down. It is the HUMU, the HUMU, the harmonic unity of the multidimensional universe. That, it came sailing through my mind like an aircraft carrier. This was huge. It was like, oh my God, what is this? Well, it's from Mom and Dad. It's from Source. And what they're saying is we're coming up with a new equation and formula or creation that hasn't been before. We're going to see about blending in unity several dimensions into one to form a new dimension. So you'll have the essence and attributes of many dimensions harmonically blended, and you'll have this new dimension. And that's why there are like 10 million star families around the planet right now. Fascinating, because we're kind of the prototype. We're the, I guess we have the right conditions for this to be. We're coming into Galactic New Year, and they're going, well, and all the conditions are right. This is a very diverse planet, lots of different people here. Let's do it here. So they're all here like, oh my, what's that going to look like? A new creation.
Uh-huh.
And however, I got a tour of it, and this struck me, and I said, my, this is the tour of the Drifter world, the world of the future. So that's why it's the way it was, what I was seeing. It's a harmonic blend. You have you know, third dimensional qualities, you have fourth dimensional, you have fifth dimensional, you have sixth dimensional qualities that people live with in this future, and they are so beautiful and so spiritually powerful. It's just like was prophesied in Revelation and by Jesus, you know, a new world without war and disease and death and all the horrors we have are gone.
Right.
And the garden is restored. The garden, the animals are so beautiful. The garden becomes so beautiful it'll hurt your eyes. It's the people are all gods and goddesses, full spiritual powers. They're basically a planet full of Jesuses running around doing all those spiritual feats and have all those abilities fully, and they live with them every day. So I give you a grand tour of that, a day in the life of the gods and goddesses, really. And our hero from our time goes into this future in a very kind of cool and magical way and has a tour. He has a great mission. It is an adventure story. I've written, because I asked, if the prophecy took 18 months, meditating every day, and to download fully in this huge tour. And when it was over, they said, well, it's time to start writing it. And I said, okay, how should I share this? Should it be kind of a non-fictional portrayal like Revelation? Or is it, no. Make it an adventure story, because people love a good story. That's what parables are for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool, okay. Sort of like Celestine Prophecy. And I said, sure. And so it is a page-burning, rip-roaring adventure. The people in the book are based on real people and certainly based on what's really going on and has been going on in our the world we live in. So as you're reading the book, you're realizing, wow, this is not a galaxy far, far away. This is the adventure I'm living in. I just finding out a few things I didn't know were going on, maybe.
I could just listen to or read about that all day long. I'm just like a little child. You know, tell me a story, a fairy tale, but this is really going to happen. This is the way, this is what we're creating.
It's a very happy ending, by the way. Very
sure.
Happy. But it sure is adventurous. You've got the ultimate bad guy, of course, the nemesis, and he's doing his best to stop the light, and you're going to meet, find out who the dark aliens were involved, and the ruling families, you meet them, and and you're going to find out about the underground installations and what they've been doing down there. I did remote viewing on that, and that was really pretty accurate. a mile down, the huge complex they've had been building, all those underground things.
Unbelievable.
Most have been shut down, but they don't have those anymore. Except for the one in China Lake. I haven't heard that that's shut down yet. That's kind of the headquarters.
China Lake, where's that, in China?
No, that's under Ridgecrest, California. It's in the Mojave Desert. In
okay. I haven't heard of that one.
Outside of Bakersfield, about 50 miles east of Bakersfield. And or Barstow, you know, it's just north of Barstow.
Oh, okay.
Way out in the desert there. And it's kind of, I call it X-Fileville. If you go up there, it's pretty kind of spooky. Expect to see Scully and Mulder wandering around and trying to solve something. I mean, it is quite an interesting place. There's been a lot go on up there.
Okay.
And a mile under the surface, they have a huge complex, yeah. And it's all interconnected by railroads and that kind of thing. And they have developed the thing pretty elaborately. But, you know, the best laid plans of hidden little mice and men, you know, don't work out usually when it's
That's
space
right.
and evil, you know.
That's right. The light will win out.
Love conquers all. That's
mm-hmm.
the thing. That's the thing everyone's going to learn. Love conquers all. And I mean all. And wins, I mean. You got to remember, if you want to jump outside the soap opera and remember that Father, Mother, God, the I Am, is playing all the parts in this drama, even the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And you're going, oh my, that's right. Why, it's so real. It looks so real. I really believe it. Pretty cool production then, isn't it? We really believe it. But you can jump outside of it and realize, wow, it's a soap opera. It's an adventure story. And God's playing all the parts. Nothing's really ever out of control. And sit back and enjoy the ride. Find something cool to do. And you can rewrite your part if you don't like your part. Well, my part myself pretty boring. I wonder if I could write myself in something a little more exciting. Sure, they rewrite scripts in motion all the time. You can rewrite your script and consult the IM about it. Well, I'd like a better part. I'd like to do something a little more exciting, a little more meaningful. Oh, sure. Well, you want to play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have a better time. And reinvent yourself. Rewrite your script. This is all things we can do.
Now, the book that we're talking about, you can download it as an e-book right now. Is that true?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
From your website. Okay.
On my website. It's in. I'm fully integrated into Amazon, Kindle, and CreateSpace. In fact, by the suggestion of Admiral Sananda, he came in one day and said, look, I'm going to give you a formula that's good for this operation. They were three separate books, the Final Testament, the Genesis, and Divine Triumph. He said, combine the three books into one big book and let people have it for $9.99. I said, okay, you got it. So it's very, very affordable. He said, times are hard. I'd like as many people as possible to read the prophecy and make it very affordable. I said, no problem. So I did. I got with my folks, and we meshed into one. It's as big as the Bible now. I mean, you've got about 668 pages. But it is a page burner. It's very exciting. You haven't read. Nobody's really read anything like this before, I can guarantee you. It's pretty unique. And,
well, tell me the name of the book again.
Drifter Trilogy.
Okay.
The e-book for $9.99 or a printed hardback or, you know, a hard copy for $25. It's all three books in one. So it's very affordable. And it's a beautiful cover. We redesigned the cover. It's got a nice starscape on it. And the planet has a rainbow ring around it like Saturn. It's pretty intriguing. What's that all about, you know?
Yes.
That's our new planet. That's our new resonant Tibetan bell of a world that's all glorified. And we will get our Eden back in full and more beautiful than before. So spectacular. It's so beautiful to live here in this future. And it's just right around the corner. We'll be, according to the master guides, things will get better and better as we go along, and by 2075, we will be fully in this drifter world. It will be in full bloom, but along the way, it will continually get more beautiful and developed and spectacular. We're about to unleash all the suppressed technologies and have the star nations, star families, helping us in the glorification and glorifying us, helping us in our ascension process. And, you know, it's the mystery school teaching. I encourage people to develop your own, if you don't already have it, consider you have your own mystery school, custom-made, tailor-made for you. You don't have to join anything else. It's all right there. And you have your own pace, and it's an initiatory process. You go through the initiation after initiation until you're all the way through it. And I declare then you get your master's degree. Well, I've got my master's, because each life here is kind of like a semester in a university. And we kind of have a major, and we come in and we're learning all about mastering life, love, mind, and spirit. It's a long process, but eventually we get our master's degree and go into full ascension. And you're free of gravity and reincarnation and at that point. But apparently this planet is headed into that. That the Grand Humu ascension level, it's not up in the full ascension, I don't think, with like the ascended masters are completely beyond the trappings of physicality. The Drifter world will still have some of those qualities, but it will be very beautiful. So we're just shy of full ascension, I think, is where we're going, is what I'm seeing. But it's a gorgeous world. It's going to be a beautiful university when we're done getting a makeover and recalibration of our Edenic world. The dark little darklings will be somewhere else. For people who don't feel like they want to make this leap right now, that's perfectly okay. There are millions and millions of Earth-like worlds in this one galaxy.
Sure.
Many universities. Whatever you want, mom and dad, creator, will guide you right there. And whatever you like. You can do the leap later. There's no hurry. I mean, you have forever to do it. So there's no rush.
Right.
Enjoy the ride. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing.
Get the most out of every life and make the most of it you can. And that's what it's about.
And have fun and enjoy it. Did you happen to get a glimpse of how children are educated, young children and children, young people?
Yes. Oh, no, I had a full presentation of that.
Is there any way you could just give a
sure.
quick glimpse
well,
of that?
For one thing, in one of my other associates, we call the commander, has a new education system that is so empowering. You can do K through 12 in a matter of months.
Oh, gosh.
That quick. And that's going to be improved upon. In this Drifter world, they still have television, but it's not the kind of television we have now. It's called time track television. So people use crystals. They have crystals have evolved as well, and they become very interfaced with us. And they become helpers and take and facilitate things for us. And education is one of those. You can what people will do is activate the time track, the Akashic, and go to any point in history, bring it up three-dimensionally. You'll be able to understand any language being spoken through the language of light being activated in your mind. It's kind of like telepathy.
Uh-huh.
There's a translator within us that will translate any language. We don't need any special technology. We're going to become the ultimate technology and outgrow the need for all this fancy stuff. We are the fancy stuff. We're just going to get fully activated. So education will be where children access the Akashic time track, and they gather huge amounts of knowledge. They just absorb it and learn from history. They can also access the time track of other worlds, because one thing that people will be doing, because I asked about this when I was having the download, I said, well, we're living in a perfect world. There's no challenges left. Where's our fulfillment for the sense of adventure? Do we have any more adventures? Oh, yeah. The creator says, "Oh, we got plenty of adventures. How do you like doing missions?" I said, "Missions? Okay. Well, what's a mission? Well, you're going to a developing world somewhere in the stars, and incarnating while you sleep, and living an entire lifetime on this other world, and engaging all the challenges that go with that. And when the life ends, you come back to your drifter world body and wake up, and one night has passed while you live this lifetime. It's a time-space continuum variable.
Oh, that's how it works. Okay.
So you're remembering, you're reviewing this life, and you're going, oh, wow, well, that was an adventure. And, you know, you wake up, honey, I'm home, you know.
I've been gone for a lifetime.
Oh, it was a humdinger. Oh, yeah.
Cause in the Urantia book, I know I'm not 100% Urantia a believer, but it talks about, because we've been through so much, we've used faith, we've used divine will to get through this blindness that we're in, and we totally have faith that there is a God, and that we have God within us, and we're tried and true. And because we've passed this test, this duality test, we're going to be able to go to these uncharted worlds and create new worlds. So what you're saying is kind of goes along with that big old Urantia book.
All these new worlds being seeded as well.
Uh-huh.
You can even become a Logos for one and things like that. Depends on where you're at. But certainly, you look out there in the stars, look at the pictures that the Hubble telescope has taken, and you see how vast it is. It basically, I tell people, anything you could imagine is probably going on out there, and a whole lot more that you could never imagine is going on out there. And remember,
well, a lot of... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
This is a multidimensional universe.
Right.
So you're only seeing one dimension.
And the one I think we're seeing is the least real. I mean, it's real, but what is the higher realities are much more real.
Well, they're definitely more vigorous and exciting. And,
yes, I mean, in this quarantine.
Every planet in our solar system is populated and on a higher
level. Sure,
There's people on every planet. There are people on the sun.
Yeah,
but
of course, yes.
It's higher dimensional reality.
It's hard to believe, listeners, but it's true.
You can't see it with a telescope, but you can connect with it psychically, spiritually. If you really want to, you can tune into it. But basically, we have a veil over us here for a reason. We're presented with various challenges, and we come in with a flight plan. And if we were accessing all the other dimensions all the time, we'd never get anything done. I mean, you'd be sailing off in your meditation and never come back. Say, well, and so we have a veil for a reason, so we can attend to what we're doing and what our flight plan calls for. But when you leave here and your semester ends, you go back to Soul Plane, and it's very beautiful. If you've been reasonably nice, you'll end up in Summerland, which is kind of like Club Med, and you go to life
with
you and say, oh, cool, that was neat. When do I get another one?
R&R.
And you engineer another one, and you go the next step. And, well, I want another semester, and I'm going to calibrate what's the best thing to do, and you'll have some help and guidance in that. And jump in again, you know, and have to go through the Pampers and the whole thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I know. What was I thinking? You know, that's why there are a lot of them are crying, you know. What was I thinking? I forgot about this. Oh, boy.
Gosh, in the Urantia book, it talks about how a lot of beings, a lot of the Galactic Federation would come here to the planet and try to uplift the consciousness, and they got so isolated here. They had to leave. There was no television. There was no way to connect to the rest of the universe, and they just kind of got fed up and left. Otherwise, if you don't leave, you're probably going to get enmeshed in the reality and start thinking it's real,
you get
caught up.
Yeah, you can
in the duality.
I speak about that a little bit about that in my book, where
people go on missions from the Drifter world, and then their mates have to come and get them unentangled.
Yes.
Take a little while. Well, you got entangled in that world, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. Well, I. Oh well, you came and got me out, and that was okay. You know.
Yeah, because it's good. I mean, there's a lot of good parts, but there's still a lot of darkness that needs to be transmuted. And
well, this is the big finale we're in right now, and everybody who's been around here a while. We have lived through some amazing stuff, and there's so much going on. It's dazzling. It's a whirlwind of change and transition going on. So what an exciting time. If you can just hang on and a little bit longer, we're going to see all the wonders unfold. And we've transmuted all the really ugly stuff, and they've been, you know, the Federation is capping off all you know, the wars and genocide operations and all that's been. And I cover that adventure in my trilogy. You get to see behind the scenes of a lot of the players. If you know, some people will be really amazed by it, and others have done their homework. And you go, oh, yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, I know about all that. But it's a real adventure, and we're in an adventure. This is the mother of all adventures we're in right now. And the new year, Galactic New Year, is coming right up. It'll be here before you know it. And what a rush of energy that's going to be.
Where, do you have plans for that, Michael? Are you going to stay in your part of the world? Are you going to go somewhere with a group? Or
have no idea. I haven't got
you're
a download
just,
about
okay.
that. I'm going to just kind of give it up to presence and say, what do you want to do with me?
There you go.
Well, you know, I'll let you decide. You're always way more wiser than I am, so you just go ahead and give me an inspiration or something. Give me some direction, some prompting. It'll just blossoms in your mind. You know, you're in there and go, oh, yeah, wow, I'll just do that. Cool, thank you. Wow, that's really neat. And you just go with it. You know, that's how you got to live if you really want to stay on course.
Well, my church that I'm most affiliated with, the Heart Center, we are planning to go to Bolivia.
Ooh.
And we plan to be at Lake Titicaca.
Awesome.
For the 12/12.
Awesome, awesome.
Uh-huh. So I was in Peru. I was in Puno, Peru for the 11/11/11.
The signs by the road, UFO crossings and stuff.
I went to. This where I was, the Amaru Meru, is where the star people would visit with the Peruvians, the Incans, and
wow.
And do the teaching right there. And they have this rock that's been just sheared completely flat, and then a little hollowed out place for the person to stand in to receive the energies from the.
I would recommend just reaching out to them and saying, why don't we meet up for a party? Why
yes.
don't you all attend and we'll just celebrate together? You know? Why not? See what happens. They're open to that. I mean, it's family. They, you know, you might get some 9-foot-tall Pleiadians or something coming out, but they're still friendly. They're real nice people.
And we'll be on the Island of the Sun, so it's not like I'm in Tucson. We have Davis Monte Air Force Base that monitors everything going on in the sky around here. So
right.
It's going to be very isolated, just like when I was in the Gobi Desert and I saw all the ships and the Galactic Federation, the Shambolic Merkabas. They're not afraid of getting shot at, and they're just
no.
completely open.
No, I had a very special encounter with the Pleiadians on Mount Shasta. I had a ship come over my head and activate my mission. They beamed me with some kind of energy, and it just opened up my multidimensional communication ability and said, well, it's time to kick in the major mission now. We're ushering in the Golden Age, and I said, okay. And it was a close encounter of the second kind. I didn't meet them physically, but certainly mind-to-mind, and it had communication.
Mm-hmm.
It was, in looking at it, you know, it was a a small ship with a cloud around it, you know, and the, you know it's a ship because it's pulsing all this energy, and it's the wind is blowing, and the cloud isn't moving, you know, and it's the only cloud in the sky, and you're going, wow. And just gazing at it at the time, I realized there was nothing on this earth that could threaten this ship, and I said, you're just, wow, you just must really freak the Air Force out. I know they can't do anything about you.
Right.
We're multidimensional, and they can't. And I've had other sightings where I saw them go in and out of dimension, and the Air Force was chasing them, and I'm laughing. Oh, good luck on that, guys. I don't think you're going to catch these fellas.
You know.
Sending, you know, C-130s out and F-16s. Well, we're going to get you. No, I don't think so. No. Not this lifetime.
No.
They are wonderful.
Too advanced.
Wonderful. They got million-year-old civilizations out there. I mean, older than that. So their technology is, a lot of it's, most of it's beyond our comprehension.
There's in the Urantia book, I keep bringing that up. Why am I doing that? But it talks about the sea of glass, and it's a stadium that can hold, say, like a billion people. Where our stadiums, I don't know, they hold 10,000 people, something like that. But because our vision is so different, a billion people can congregate in a situation like that. And
now that's a coliseum.
Yeah.
Cosmic coliseum. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm just amazed. It's thinking about something so huge, but why not?
Oh yeah, I mean we're definitely going to be challenged to expand our minds and thinking and consciousness here, and go galactic. We're becoming reintegrating with the Galactic Society, and all these people out there. My God, and they're, most of them are on higher dimensions, and. It's a challenge to kind of grow into it, but we will. We'll remember. We'll be helped and facilitated, and it will be wonderful. We'll get to ride in starships and go flitting around freely into the stars, and it will be awesome. This is an awesome future ahead.
Yes,
so we have every reason to celebrate.
That's right. And we have a lot to... I did a whole show on Saint Germain on 4th of July last year. I went through his many embodiments and his mission for the Earth and the I Am America and all of that.
I defined and for a long time, yes. And we're good buddies.
That's amazing. You were telling me that you had a conversation with him and...
I met him tangibly, yes. He's the only master I met tangibly. But he showed me how real they are, and it was absolutely stunning to see this being, because he made himself into a tangible man, and he looked like his picture quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
But he kind of glowed, his skin kind of, and his eyes, it was just so radiant. I mean, I was only 22 at the time, but he looked about 25, but then again, you look at him, and you could tell he'd been around forever.
Right.
Quality about him. I said, you know everything, don't you? And I'm thinking of that. And I'm, God, look at that. He was way prettier than I was, you know, at 22. I mean, I'm going, wow. That's the goal. There it is. Okay. That's what we're shooting for. And to be like you. Yeah, it's very, very special. Yeah. The Ascension. I also refer to them as the professors. You know, they're the professors in the university. They can teach and guide and way show, and they help you along and through your lessons. And they're always available. You can talk to any of them. Babaji is another one of mine that I work with. And but Sananda's been partnered with me for several years, getting ready for this big show here. So we work pretty close together. I have a portrait of him over my computer that was done by Glenda Green in Sedona. She had a tangible visit from him and did his portrait, so I have the portrait.
Oh, nice. You know, the one I have, it's, oh, gosh, I can't even remember her name. She's fifth-generation Russian artist. The Ascended Masters and Angels pose for her.
Oh, okay.
And she's done Saint Germain and Sananda Jesus.
Wonderful. Well, it's nice to get those and have them in the house because
she yes.
Salute them in the morning.
I know.
Aye, aye, sir. Okay, where are we going?
Gosh, I could just, Michael, I could just listen to you teach all day long. I tell you, it's just, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, I think we're going to have to wrap it up.
Anytime you want me back, just let me know.
Well, I would. Your stories, I'm just like a little child. Tell me about this. Okay. I'm definitely going to read your book before I have you on again. And sometimes I do I can't get to my show, so I'd like to rebroadcast this as a
sure.
rebroadcast.
Yes.
So you might hear yourself sometime. And you're going to be on someone else's show on BBS Radio, right? Would you?
Like yes. What's his
March something, you told me, March?
Oh, no, that's Linda Berry. She's not on BBS. She's but
oh,
there's
okay,
another
go
fellow
ahead.
Who wrote me. I have him on my calendar. Yes, Chris Rudy. Christopher Rudy. On the 25th, he called me up and asked me to be on.
Christopher Rudy, okay, on the 25th of February.
Yes. So.
All right, well, I'll have to listen
There'll
to that one, too.
Kind of a roundtable conference on that show. That ought to be interesting.
That should be.
Is it possible for you to send a copy of the show to me in an email?
Yes, uh-huh, I can do that.
Wonderful, because mm-hmm. I'll archive you in my site, and so people can listen to it whenever they want. And it'll promote your show.
All right. That sounds great.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. You're a wonderful teacher, and I just I can't wait to read your book.
You'll have fun. I guarantee it. It's just go to drifterworld.org, and it's there waiting, and it's the ride of your life.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Vicki.
It has for me, too. Goodbye, everybody. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Hey, good night.
Good night.